Welcome and welcome back to our podcast. Me and my dad, Gerhard, please say hello before we start.
Hi.
Are back with another episode with a very interesting guest. And before we start with the introduction, I would like to summarize the last episode a bit. Our last guest was also an international one. It was Jose Romero, who is a global chief master coach and leadership strategist. And he talked about the generational conflicts with us, about communication, and also about leadership. And he also taught us about his favorite topic, which is curiosity. And he also did a bit of coaching on us in the end. So definitely listen to this episode because it was really informative. And I personally had a lot of fun talking to Jose. And for today's guest, we have Donna Amelia. She's a keynote speaker, executive and life coach, trainer and educator. And she started in the entertainment industry and changed courses to business leadership because she wanted to do coaching and also leadership. Welcome, Donna, to you. I'm very glad to have you here. I'm looking forward to our conversation. And before we start, I would just like you to introduce yourself to the listeners so that they get to know you better.
Thank you. So happy to see the synergy of father and daughter. This is so awesome. Thank you so much for having me. My name is Donna Amelia. I'm the managing director and co-founder of EGN Singapore, Indonesia, and Malaysia, where I work closely with CEOs, business owners, and senior leaders. But as you rightly say, my journey was very different. I grew up in a small little village in Indonesia with very little that I have. And then I becoming a professional singer, actress, and then TV presenter. And then later in my life, I moved into the business and leadership. And as you rightly say, also coaching. But because of that journey, I've worked with people from many, many generations, cultures, and also industry. And what fascinating to me that, you know, like working with people from, let's say, age 19 to 65 or sometimes more, actually, we all want the same thing, to be seen, to be heard, to be respected, and to be valued. And I think nowadays the challenge is not about the age gap, but the real challenge is the communication gap. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay, so I would just like to start into the topic with the first question that I ask everyone that we have on this podcast, which is, what are your experiences with not only the younger generations, but also the older ones today and when you were younger? Do you note any differences or anything that comes to mind, how you view this topic in general?
A very good, and I think it's a very timely topic. One key that I wanted to convey is that older generation may have the experience, and then younger generation may have fresh perspective, and we need both. And it's supposed to be working as a team. We're not supposed to, you know, make them separate or compare which one is best, which one is not, right? And of course, I had a beautiful and a little bit difficult experiences with different generation. So for example, with older generation, especially senior executive, I often see incredible loyalty, discipline, resilience, and experience. Of course, because they survived many crises, build businesses from the scratch, and of course, they learn to be patient, right? But sometimes they can unintentionally think that, you know, this is how it should be. This is how it should be done. And they may underestimate the ability of the younger generation and so on in doing things differently because of the different environment and this kind of fast changing world that we are in now. Now, for the younger generation, right, especially Gen Z, and just for your information, at EGN, where I'm leading my company now, I think 90% my team is Gen Z. And I love them. When other people say like, oh, Gen Z is this and that and this and that, I completely like in the opposite. I think Gen Z is wonderful. They are full of energy. They are having a great creativity, right? But one thing about Gen Z, I think they wanted to feel heard, to feel valued, and they wanted to have a purpose. They understand about work-life balance, mental health, how important it is to them. And I think the more we encourage them, the more we give them a trust, we guide them, we mentor them, they will give you everything. To me, my Gen Z team is my everything. I love them. I think because I treat them like a family. Although other people said, like, don't treat your staff like a family in case you wanted to fire them, you can't. I mean, to me, when we show love, especially to this Gen Z, when you really from deepest of your heart, you show that you care, not only when they are achieving the KPI and so on, but really as a whole, as a human being, when I connect with them in the deeper level, when I understand their purpose, and then we link it with the company purpose, they do wonder. However, for Gen Z itself, I think what they need to improve more is the understanding that, you know, experience is also matters. And being disciplined is even more important because Gen Z, they are like having a great dreams, great ideas and so on. But to achieve that level and so on and so forth, you need the discipline, you need the patience, and it's all come with experience. So yeah, I think the best is you know, like, how can we bridge and be curious? So the older generation should be curious to about Gen Z. Gen Z also needs to be curious about the older generation. So I think when we are curious to one another, I think it will create a good synergy instead of, you know, like thinking, oh, that old generation is this. Oh, that young generation is this. That's my perspective. Yeah.
I have a question because this was Rebecca was waiting for that because you were giving me a lot of food now to ask questions, but I want to step on one thing because you mentioned that Gen Z and not only Gen Z, I would say, need experience, need discipline, and you know that I know Nick not personally, but we did this CCMC journey together. We were working on our life purpose also, what you mentioned also in your words. I would like to add one more thing, which in my point of view is also very important to be successful on the end of the day, which is then also related a bit to this Ironman sport Nick and myself are doing. And I want to hear your opinion on that. What about consistency in this context?
I think being consistent is super important, the way you showed up. And I think being consistent is part of the discipline. So I think it is really important to have the consistency and understanding that, you know, every small little thing that you being consistent about it can accumulate to becoming a big things, right? I mean, I love this book of James Clear about Atomic Habit, and that's very, very good. And I think you're both reading it, right? Read this before? Yeah.
I've
I
heard
think
of it.
it's fantastic book where, you know, like when we wanted to change habit and all, just try, like, you know, like little by little. And to your point, it's about consistency. When you keep showing up, when you keep doing things right consistently, it will generate a big things, right? And of course, consistent need a discipline. So I think consistent is super important for you to make a success. And one thing also that I want to add on top of that, consistent also need patience. Yeah. And sometimes for, I mean, it's not about Gen Z or whatever, right? Sometimes we lacking that patience because nothing is instant, right? If let's say Gen Z seeing the older generation, oh, she's so successful, or oh, he's so successful, they didn't understand all this consistency that accumulate along the way. This consistency, including still showing up when you are lazy, when you are demotivated, when you face rejection and all. So consistency can also lead to what? Resilience. Yes. And sometimes again, to compare between old generation with younger generation, the older generation might have more of this because their lifespans already like longer. So they might face things in their life, right? The crisis and this and that that need consistency, needs to always showing up, like proven their resilient and just their discipline and all. While the Gen Z, you know, now they might have the shortcut about that. However, I think the understanding of, you know, like consistency matters, discipline matters, patience matters for you as a Gen Z or younger generation to reach certain like step or stage in your life is very important.
Think that is very well said. And I think you also have a lot of experience with it because you also had to be very consistent and resilient in your life. And I wanted to touch on this a bit about your way from well, growing up, going to the entertainment industry, then how did you go into the topic of coaching? How did you come up with this in the business industry and everything? Because I read your LinkedIn profile, and I also found a website on you, and I read through this, and I was like, wow, she has done so much in her life, and you have so much experience. And I just wanted to ask you, where did all this come from, and how did you do so many things? How did you manage that?
Thank you so much, by the way, for seeing like my website and so on. Really appreciate it. So let me get back to who I really am. So I was born in Indonesia in a bamboo house, no electricity, dirt floor. My parents just graduated from university, about to be a teacher. My mom just actually graduated from senior high school. They fall in love, they have me, right? They have all the love in the world, but financially they're not ready yet. They don't even have money to buy me milk, so I don't drink milk per se, but I do drink starchy liquid of rice because in Indonesia we eat rice a lot, right? So that's how my childhood looks like. However, understanding that, you know, my mom helping my dad, you know, to sell stuff in the market, and then my dad go to school to teach, and then go back to help my mom also in the market. So I know exactly, oh, woman, right? Although in the small little village, we can contribute to the family. That's the first thing. And I'm the first children. So I already know my purpose in life already since the early age. My purpose in life is to make my parents happy, bring them from poverty to have a better life. That's very clear because I understand how hard it is when people mock at you, when some kids pick on your house because we have a lot of holes in our bamboo house and so on. And then, thankfully, on the age of 15, when I was in the first grade of senior high school, my dad found a talent on me on in singing. So since then, I have a dreams already. My dream is to becoming a big singer in Indonesia, actress, TV presenter. Why? It's not only about the fame, but it's go back to my purpose. Oh, if I can be famous, if I can be on TV, if I can be this and that, I might earn a lot more money so then I can provide to my family. So since then, I was singing and singing and singing, and then I go to competition already on TV in the age of 15 to sing, to dance, and so on. But trust me, coming from small little village where you go to the TV station by bus and by truck because my hometown is very, very re remote, I have a big imposter syndrome. The moment I enter TV, I'm like, oh my God, oh my God, everybody looks so pretty, so posh, so polished. Where I'm coming from, small little village and nothing. But this is what why is it important for us to be surrounded by people who love us, who give us the encouragement. And that back then it's my dad. I still remember my dad told me this, Donna, look around you. Everyone in here still eat rice. No one eating diamond or gold or anything, he said. And then he told me, you're not less than anyone else. Believe in your talent, love people the same, respect people the same, and I know that I can't give you much, he said. But he said, I will always support you and I will always pray for you. And I'm sure one day you will be very successful that you will tell your story to everyone and you can inspire others. I still remember that is my dad telling me that. So I'm very, very blessed because if I didn't get that advice, I might already, like close up and I'm like, oh, I'm not belong here and so on. But with that advice, I keep going and I keep focus on my purpose of making my parents happy. So I face many rejection, I face many failure and all, but I know my purpose. It's like I'm having the North Star that guides me along the way. Regardless how life throw me here and there, I keep going. And along the way, actually now, as you asked me, I becoming a coach, of course presenter previously and so on. I developed the framework, which is on my own name, DONA. It stands for Dream, Opportunity, Never Give Up, Action. And this is the life statement of myself. When I have nothing in the age of 15, I have nothing, but I have a dreams. And everybody in the whole world can have their own dreams. So I have a dream to be a singer, actress, TV presenter. But remember, dreams can always be a dreams until you do something about it. So that's why the O stands for opportunity. You need to find the opportunity to reach your dreams. And then the next is N, never give up. You will face many rejection, ups and down, and so on and so forth in life, right? But again, be resilient, stay strong until you reach your dreams. And then A stands for action. Your action needs to be 200%. This action meaning being consistent, be resilient, regardless what happened, do your best. And of course, also be disciplined in achieving your dreams. So to me, those framework like helping me towards every single stages in my life, from singing, and then when I wanted to be a TV presenter, I keep do the same. Where I am in that stage, oh, I'm still in the phase of dreaming or visioning or having a goal. Okay, now time to find the opportunity. When you in that moment of finding the opportunity, I know I'm gonna face many rejection, many hurdle, and so on and so forth. I'm not gonna give up. It's in the end stage, never give up. And then A, action. When I get that opportunity, I do 200%. I'm not just doing so-so and so. No, I need to do all I could, which is, I will tell you again, I have another methodology under the action plan, which is 4 PEs. Very simple. The first P is pray, and then the second P is preparation. The third P is practice. The fourth P is perform, and then evaluate. That is in the action stage, meaning that when I get the opportunity to reach my dreams, okay, I will pray to God. You can do meditation, regardless what is whatever your what is it religion, but center yourself, very focused on what you are having now, this opportunity that you want to do, and then prepare from A to Z, including show must go on if something bad happened. So I have the plan A, B, C, D. For example, if I'm a singer, right, or I do a TV presenting, what if my mic is off? What if this? What if that? I already have the plan A, B, C. So then show must go on. And then, of course, after I prepare everything, I need to practice before I even do the actual things. So it's practice, practice, practice. Now, on the day itself, I will show up and I will perform my best. Normally, if I already pray, I already prepare the best, including all the scenario. I already practice at home. The performance normally will be great. However, things happen. Some things are beyond our reach or beyond our responsibility, or the result is actually up to God. So that's why we need to go to the next step, which is E. Evaluation. You need to evaluate what happened in that moment in the action. Do I need to do something? Do I need to remove something? And so on. However, if you already do the 4P, your evaluation will come from the stage of being grateful because you go this far. You see, you already do your best. You're not just doing so-so and and then you cry or you blame yourself or blame others because, oh, the result is not what I want. No. You will be very grateful, very happy about your achievement, whatever it is, because you know that you do your best. So, to answer your point, Those are the two principles that helping me navigating my life, the DONA framework and the 4PE methodology. So whichever stages of my life, regardless if it is in the showbiz or now leading the company, being entrepreneur, being speaker, coach, I always like go towards those two framework and see where I am, which one that I'm missing. And then I keep try to be the best and do my best according to those principle.
I love this. It's amazing. It's also very inspirational. And I wrote down the 4 PEs, and also I read about your DONA framework on LinkedIn and your website, so I'm already familiar with it, and it's amazing. I love it.
Thank you, Kim.
I think it's a great example of self-leadership, which means that it starts with you first. In this case, you have defined your own framework, which is fantastic, having also your first name using it, which is also a nice analogy. It's great and fantastic. But coming back to your story again, you mentioned a lot of things about motivation, discipline, resilience. And I was listening to a podcast, by the way, also to the listeners of this podcast, which was Professor Habermann, which is a neurologist, I think, in a really a famous university in America. And he had a discussion with David Goggins. And David Goggins is one of these guys who is doing ultra marathons, which means he's running 200 miles, something like that. And he's really crazy. And he says that for him, everything you said, also, Donna, is fantastic and it's valid. But for him, the game changer is passion combined with willpower. And he said that the willpower stands overall. What's your opinion on that?
I think I can also relate and agree with that more because yes, the willpower, especially when it's related to your purpose.
Yes.
I think the willpower is the purpose because you might be demotivated and so on. But if you have your life purpose or your purpose bigger than yourself, like for me, I know exactly what my life purpose. I want to make my parents happy, bring them from poverty to have a better life. Of course, your life purpose might change along the way according to your life stages, right?
Correct.
Like now, my life purpose is really to make everybody happy, not only my parents and my family, but everyone. How? By anything I do, if I can contribute as simple as giving smile to others and it makes somebody else's day, I'm happy. That's my purpose. To the point that if I sing, if I DJing, if I do TV presenting, acting, leading company, being a coach, being a speaker, anything that I can contribute and make people happy, I'm grateful. So that's my life purpose now. So I think when you have a purpose, then your willpower will be very, very, very strong. And also, I think having this life purpose is really something that I really hope everyone, every listener, really dig deep about this. Because when you know what is your life purpose, you will be amazed on how you will lead your life because it's you have the guidelines, you know where you want it to end up, not like letting the life swing you right and left and so on, but you can determine where you want to go because you know where is your destination is. So I agree with that, yes.
Okay. And what would you say, especially then to Gen Z in this relation, should they look really for their life purpose in this early age, that they have really a guideline for the next years?
I think I'm, and to be very honest with you, we Nick and I doing the leadership training and so on, right? And then when we ask, and in front of leaders, maybe hundreds, sometimes more than hundreds, and sometimes below 100, do you know your life purpose? We ask that, and then only a few hands raise, by the way. So my point is that I know it's not that simple or easy for everyone to like immediately understanding what is your life purpose. I might be lucky because the life teach me and force me to know exactly what my life purpose from the early age. But of course, for other people, might not that early, or maybe they know now, which is doesn't matter. But most importantly, if you doesn't have, I mean, if you don't know, then try to find out, right? As simple as asking this a few questions. What do you like to do as a child, right? Or right, and then link it with what makes you happy? What kind of impact would you like to give to yourself, to your family, to the society? And I think with the Gen Z now, because they actually surprisingly know their purpose, they know what they want, right? So I think they will like just with a little bit of guidance, a little bit of coaching or mentoring, right, from the the older generation, they will know exactly what they want. So if I talk to my team about their life purpose, I ask them, okay, what would you like to have in a few years from now? What kind of impact, or what do you really want to have in this life? And then they will tell me, oh, I want to have this and that and this and that, which is good. So I will encourage anyone to really try to, nowadays it's very easy with even with AI or ChatGPT, give me questions for me to find my life purpose. Boom. You get it immediately. I think that will be helpful. And for all any generation, if you don't know your life purpose yet, I really encourage for you all to really find what is your purpose, because then it's gonna useful, it's gonna guide you towards living your life in a very better way. And eventually you will live the life that you want according to your purpose.
It's very nicely said. I can only agree with it. And I wanted to ask you a bit because I think Nick mentioned it when we did the podcast with him, because he's very active in men's mental health, and he said that you're also active in women's mental health, and you're doing leadership for women. And wanted to ask you how you came to do that and why it is so important to you.
Yes, in my current job as the managing director and also the co-founder for EGN, Executive Global Network, we are indeed an organization where we gather senior executive, male or female, to come together and have a safe space to be themselves, to be able to talk about what they have in their heart, in their mind, that they might not able to convey in their own organization due to confidentiality, hierarchy, and whatnot. And you might hearing the saying that it could be lonely at the top. And I've been dealing with leading working with senior executive almost 1,000 of them or even more now for the last 8 years. It is could be lonely at the top, and they need to have a space, safe space where they can really be themselves, where can they really talk about their real current challenges personally, professionally, but in the safe environment. Because as a leader, we can't really vent to random people or in a random situation, because you bring a wealth of responsibility. You need to take care of your image, your company image, and so on. So sometimes it's needed for us as a leader to put facade in a sense, right? To look good and so on. But eventually, you also need a safe space to really be able to talk, to be yourself, to be vulnerable, to get help, and so on. So me, I'm lucky also that I'm also a professional coach, just like your dad, right? So we are one of the safe space for these leaders to talk, to vent, to get some ideas. But professionally, my company does it for many leaders across the globe. Now, we do have one group for women leaders as well. So it's the same. We provide a safe space for these women leaders to come together every second month for 4 hours. They can really be vulnerable in talking about their current business challenge and get help from one another. And that give me joy, because I understand, a problem shared, a problem half, right? Just to share it's upload the burden and so on. And when you talk and then you get some what is it, some ideas or perspective or advice, even better. So that's what I do nowadays in my company, and I'm grateful for already doing this actually together with Nick for the last 8 years in Singapore and previously in Vietnam also. So Women Leaders is one of the group that we have in EGN.
Okay, amazing. Thank you for telling us about this. I just found it really interesting. And when we talked to Nick and my dad, because Nick already said that you would be interested in doing the podcast, and I was like, I want to ask her about this. I want to know more about it. And yeah, I'm very glad that we have you here now and I could ask these questions. Dad, if you have a question, you can go on. Otherwise, I would like to ask some.
Only one thing what I want to add is maybe an advice Donna would give, maybe also to women in Gen Z, because I think it is really very important to encourage them to find their way forward also in the business world. And Donna, you know that definitely more than us. A lot of leaders are men, which is from the past history. Definitely, we see that the moment in this crazy world, what the old white men's are doing sometimes, the crazy things, the very stupid things sometimes. But what advice would you give then, really? Young woman from also not only Gen Z, maybe also Gen Alpha or Gen Y, because we have not only Gen Z woman which can learn from you. Which advice would you give from your experience to this young, hopefully also leaders in the future?
Thank you. So to the young listener, regardless your Gen Z, Gen Alpha and all, I think most important is don't be afraid to speak up, but also don't be afraid to learn, because your generation has incredible ideas, creativity, courage. But don't make a mistake by thinking, oh, you have to do everything alone. No, find mentors, right? Ask questions, listen to people who has experience. Because nowadays, one of the things that happened to all this generation, they might used to be alone in a sense that they are happy with their own meta world and so on, with all this social media. They don't really talk to the real people in a sense, right? So I think it's very important to really find a real human, find a mentor to really ask question, exchange idea, but at the same time, do not lose your own voice when, for example, you go to the older generation and then they told you, oh, that's not how we do it, blah blah blah. It's all right, you just need to be able to be brave and be curious and wanted to exchange knowledge, among any generation. And I think if, let's say, we are understanding to be able to stay curious, stay humble, and stay brave as a Gen Z or whatever Zen you are, it will be great. It will help you in navigating your life in any kind of situation.
Okay. This sounds amazing. I would like to kind of go over to the next question, which kind of has something to do because we talked about women in leadership, and I wanted to ask you how leadership looks for you, because we've heard also a lot of opinions from our other guests in the podcast that leadership is changing. It's not as strict anymore. It's more leading with empathy and kind of, like you already said, that your employees are also your family. And I think you're also kind of more the type to lead with empathy. Is that right? And what is your experience when working with executives? How does leadership change with them as well? And what is your opinion on all of it?
Yeah, I believe I agree with you. I think nowadays the leaders is no more about top down and so on. It's more about leaders who lead by example, the leaders who can ask the right questions, and the leaders who has a good listening skill. Because that's the problem. If we only want to talk, talk, talk without listening, I think that's when the problem is happening. Because when you ask the right questions and you are there to listen, you will not judge. And you can, like exchange the judge with the curiosity. So to me, a leadership now is all about leading by example, lead with the kindness and the empathy, and most importantly, listen. That's the most important. As a leader, we need to listen. What is the real situation and asking question? No more leaders as a really, top down, like a military kind of things. It's more of like coaching and mentoring, especially in leading Gen Z. We need to give them the trust. And it's very simple actually to deal with them, just to really asking the right questions. We can really guide them by asking question and don't tell them what to do. If you tell them, hey, please do A, they might say like, why should I do A? But if we ask them, what do you think about this? And it's the same. It's leading to, oh, I think this is ABC, blah, 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 but I think A is good, you see? But it's coming from them. It's better that way. So they have the responsibility and they have the accountability because it's coming from them. And again, how did you get all this answer? By asking the right question and by being a great listener. So that's the leadership nowadays to me.
Okay. Sounds amazing. I also think that we're going through a lot of changes and also in leadership and also communication, because you also said we need to listen and communicate and not only talk, but really understand the person that we're talking to. And I wanted to ask you, is there any tips you can give us and also our listeners how we can communicate better? Because I think it's also because of all the social media and because we're doing everything over the internet and whatnot, that communication, personal communication, is getting a bit lost. So what can you give us as advice how we can improve talking to one another and really listen and understand?
I think the first thing is no judgment. And sometimes that's the hardest one, right? I think when you are really being curious and not being judgmental, that's the key, right? You replace the judgment with the curiosity. So you really communicate not based on the, like having the assumption and all, but you're curious. You genuinely wanted to know, wanted to understand without judging. I think that's the key. Because once you do that, people, especially the younger generation, they have the feeling. I mean, actually, every human being has a feeling. They understand when you talk with the judgment or when you are curious or when you are blaming, it's completely a different feeling, right? So if you can really communicate from the base of curiosity and no judgment, that will help.
Okay. Do you maybe also notice some like cultural differences? Because we've for example talked to Jose about this and also Sarah, I think, and they did say that they note some changes, some differences, changes. And I think Nick has already said that because in it's like different where we live, in Germany and where he comes from, and then in Asia. He said that there's like, a difference generally in how leadership is, how the people are. And do you notice anything about this?
I think I completely agree with you. Having dealing and working together with leaders who also are managing many kind of cultures and different countries and all, understanding about this cross-cultural things is super important as well. I completely agree with you. What my normal or it's okay in Germany might not be the same in Indonesia. For example, as simple as, for example, drinking alcohol. Maybe to certain level in the Western society, it's quite okay and quite social, for example. But let's say in Indonesia, because we are the biggest Muslim country, it's not in our culture and it's tend to be like something that it's odd when we do that openly and so on and so forth. So I think as a leader, indeed, we need to really understand the culture of who we are dealing with or who we are like serving. If let's say we are having the staff from Indonesia, Germany, Japan, or US, we as a leader again needs to be curious, needs to always have a learning mindset of understanding what exactly their culture, what their needs. And again, it's back to the listening skill and the powerful question. If you're curious to know, to understand them with all heart, with the open heart, and with all ears understanding, of course, you will be a great leaders in making them to be united instead of, oh, this culture is A, this culture is B, A better than B. No, it has its own beauty. But as a leader, we need to know how can we unite it, all this culture to have the same purpose. Let's say we wanted to lead them to have in one purpose to be like A or B or C according to what is your company purpose or what is your purpose to be. But yeah, having those ability to understanding the cross culture, that's very, very important.
Okay, thank you. We've heard it from others as well, like I said, and I also think that there are a lot of differences. But if you just listen and communicate, then it all works out. And I also think that listening is a very important skill that sometimes you also have to learn. And understanding really is also something you have to learn. And so thank you for your perspective on this. Dad, do you want to ask any questions?
No, I think
Okay.
Donna said this very well, and I think there is nothing to add because, she's a great coach. You hear that also. She's
Yeah.
working a lot with different cultures, different leaders, and I think this is exactly what she said: is ask great questions, and then active listening is definitely what is on the end of the day, which brings you then also the final result. And this is having a perfect team working together in one direction.
Yeah. So I'm done with my question actually. So we could go on to summarize the episode, but first I want to give you, Donna, the word so that you can just say a few words of your own to kind of end this episode and what your experiences were and what you want to add to the conversation.
So first of all, I just want to thank both of you. It was fun and nice. And I just want to add that I truly believe that every generation has something valuable to give, right? And the future does not belong to only one generation, Gen Z only or Gen X only and all. The future belongs to people who knows how to learn from each other and understanding the differences as a beauty. And have the curiosity to learn from one another. Again, if we replace judgment with curiosity and assumption with a real conversation between human, we can build a stronger family, stronger workplaces, and stronger communities. So maybe I think that's the most important of all leadership skills. Thank you.
Okay. Then I will go on to summarize my perspective on today's episode. I also had really a lot of fun talking to you, and you have a lot of knowledge, and it was an amazing conversation. Thank you for joining us here. It was really great. I took a lot away from it. Like I said, I'm very impressed by all that you have already done and all that you will do in the future. You're really, kind of a role model for also younger women. I just think it's amazing what you do. So thank you again. That was it for me. That, do you want to summarize? Yeah, go ahead.
No, only some final words from my side. What I found really impressive is that you defined your own framework with your first name, which is definitely Donna, which means dream, opportunity, never give up, and action, which I find really wonderful. And I think one thing which stood out for me was especially also to younger women, which hopefully have also the chance to come in leadership roles, speak up. But also listen and learn. I think this was then, which was for me really wonderful from your end, Donna. And thank you very much for your time. And it was a great session today. And yeah, keep going.
Thank you. Thank you so much, both. You guys are awesome. I would love to have this kind of, like podcast where dad and daughter, come together, being the podcast host. It's amazing. Thank you so much for inviting me. Really grateful.
Thank you,
Okay.
Laura.
Then I will do the outro real quick and then we're basically finished. So thank you to our listeners for always supporting us. And please give us feedback if you have anything to note. And text us about your opinions on this episode and whatever you want to say. Thank you for listening. And then that's it for this episode today. And until the next one, bye.
Ciao.
Bye.